Rumors of the well poisonings have outrun the pest, and men do mad things from fear. Men do foolish things. Hans ran his finger down the edging that held the glass light in the window. Does killing their neighbor stem the small lives that make disease? Is my life longer if I have shortened another's? Dietrich said, Pope Clement has written that Christian piety must accept and sustain Jews. So these massacres are the work of sinful and disobedient men. He contends that Jewish and Christian learning make one whole, which he calls Judeo-Christian. Christendom issued from Israel is a child from a mother, so we must not anathemize them as we do heretics. But you do not like them, Hans said. You have shown it so. Dietrich nodded. Because they rejected the Christ. For so long as the Savior was to come, the Jews were chosen by God to be a light to the nations, and God placed many laws on them as a sign of their holiness. But once the Savior was come, their mission ended, and the light was given to all nations, as Isaiah prophesied. The laws that set them apart were void, for if all people are called to God, there can be no distinctions among them. Many Jews did believe, but others clung to the old law. They incited the Romans to kill our blessed Lord. They killed James, Stephen, Barnabas, and many others. They sowed dissension in our communities, disrupted our services. Their general, Bar Kochba, massacred the Jewish Christians and drove many into exile. Later they betrayed Christians to Roman persecutors. In Alexandria, they lured Christians from their homes by crying that the church was on fire, and then attacked them when they emerged. And in far-off Arabia, where they ruled as kings, they massacred thousands of Christians at Najran. So, you see, the enmity is of long standing. And is this Ben Shlomo so old that he performed those fell deeds? No, they befell long ago. Hans tossed his arm. Can a man be guilty of a deed done by others? What I see is that there stands a limit to this charitas that you and Joachim preach, and enmity may be returned for enmity. He struck the window frame repeatedly with his forearm. But if vengeance is the law, why did I leave the Kratzer? This outburst was greeted with silence by both Gottfried and Dietrich. Hans turned from the window. Tell me I have not made a fool's choice. Gottfried handed Dietrich an alb of white linen. Donning it, Dietrich recalled that it represented the garment with which Herod had draped the Lord to revile him as a fool. No, he told Hans, of course not. But the Jews have been enemies for generations. Hans turned from the window to face him in the human manner. Someone once said, love your enemies. Gottfried turned once more to the table and said, Father, you have worn white vestments of late. Shall I lay those out? Yes. Yes. Dietrich turned from Hans, his thoughts in turmoil. Saint Ephraim is a doctor of the church, and so white, which is the sum of all colors and signifies joy and purity of soul. As if such ritual mattered, said Brother Joachim from the doorway. He stepped into the room. You have acquired two sacristans, I see. Do they know their tasks well? Do they know with which fingers to touch and hold the holy armor? So that you may gird yourself to battle the devil and lead the people victorious to the eternal fatherland? The sarcasm is heavy-handed, brother, Dietrich told him. A lighter touch is needed for the best effect. Men crave ceremonies. It is our nature. It was to change our nature that Jesus came among us. De Flora's everlasting gospel eliminates all need for signs and riddles. When that which is perfect is come, forms and traditions and laws will have fulfilled their purpose and will be done away with. No, we must travel deep within ourselves. Dietrich turned to the two Krenken. All that, over whether linen be white or green, by the holy saints, Joachim, such minutiae obsess you more than they do me. About such things we know nothing, Hans said. But he has right over the inward curling directions. To find our heavenly home, we must travel in directions not of height or length or breadth, and through a time not of duration. We could always walk, said Gottfried, flapping his soft lips, but Hans clicked his horny lips, and his companion cut his laughter short. We have been cut off from home, he said, and from our companions. Let us not be cut off from each other. The next day Dietrich came upon a man in close study of the church walls. Seizing him by the surcoat, he discovered it was the Jew servant. What make you here? He demanded. Why were you sent? But the Jew cried out,
No tell, master, I come. No tell, please.
The distress was so palpable that Dietrich judged it genuine. Why?
Because it's unlawful for us to walk near the house of Tilfa.
Truly? So, does it not defile you? The servant cringed.
Honored one, I base-born rascal, not so pure and holy as master, what can defile me?
And was that irony that Dietrich heard in that voice? He merely smiled. Explain yourself.
I hear of them carvings from hof servants and think I come see. We forbid to make images, but I'm loving beauty.
By his wounds, I believe you speak the truth. Dietrich straightened and released his grip on the man's sleeve. How are you called? The man doffed his cap.
Tarchan Hazabanbek.
A large name for such a small man. Tarchan wore a long tasseled scapular beneath his rough coat, and his thick braids were unlike the delicate curls his master affected. You are not Spanish.
My people from east, from borderlands of Leds. Perhaps you know Kiev?
Dietrich shook his head. Is it far, this Kiev of yours? Tarchan grinned sadly.
So far as age of world. Once was mighty city of my people, when we hold golden empire. Now, who am I, whose fathers once were kings?
Dietrich found himself amused. I would invite you to my table and learn of this golden empire, but I fear you would pollute yourself. Tarchan crossed his hands over his breast.
Mighty ones, like master, so pure, even small things are polluting them. Now he think golden-eyed demon watching him, and he draw seal of Solomon around the rooms. But me, what matter? Besides, good manners never pollute.
The mention of golden-eyed demons held Dietrich momentarily speechless. Had the Kränken gone to the lower woods to peek at this exotic stranger? I think I may have some porridge and a little ale. I cannot place your accent.
Is it because my accent has no place? In Kiev are Jews and Rus, Poles and Letts, Turks and Tatars. It's wonder I understand myself.
He followed Dietrich into the parsonage. Joachim had just placed two bowls of porridge on the table. He stared, and Tarchan favored him with a cautious smile.
You preacher, I hear of.
I am no friend to Jews, Joachim replied. Tarchan spread his hands in mock astonishment. Joachim said no more, but fetched a third bowl and some bread from the kitchen. These he placed on the table just out of Tarkin's reach.
No wonder,
the Jew murmured to Dietrich as he gathered his food.
You sometimes burn them.
Beware of too much cleverness, Dietrich whispered in return. Each prayed grace after his own fashion. Tarchan said over the clack of wooden spoons on wooden bowls,
Hof servants say you man of learning much travel and study nature.
I was a scholar at Paris. Buridan was my master, but of this Kiev I know nothing.
Kiev, merchant city. Many come and go, and this wonders me when I boy. I taking service with Ben Shlomo because he travels, so I seen many place.
He spread his hands.
So, I know he forbids Maimonism. He say council of rabbis declaring 40 years ago scientia not proper to Jews. Talmud only should be study. I should know this? I ask, where in Talmud this written? And he tell me, only pure may study Talmud, which I am not.
Oy. He raised his eyes to heaven in silent entreaty or rebuke.
Joachim grunted. Your master is right about the vanity of worldly knowledge, but wrong about which book should be studied.
The Jew took another spoon of porridge. Everywhere I go I hear this thing. In Muslim lands too, but they are only Quran fit for study.
The Muslims were wonderful scholars once, Dietrich said.